the depopulation of the world, because often we're led to believe that we're overpopulated, and that overpopulation is a big problem. You know, as we're seeing more and more sprawl, as cities sprawl to country areas, they say, rural areas, too many people. And yet this contradiction from actually the very people at the Council on Foreign Relations who are trying to put the UN system in place. You know, I find it remarkable that they can talk out of both sides of their mouth, but of course, they're behind many of the politicians that do the same thing. Here we see June 21st, 2004, Bush to screen population for mental illness. Sweeping initiative links diagnosis to treatment with specific drugs. President Bush plans to unveil next month, that would be in July, that's this month actually now, a sweeping mental health initiative that recommends screening for every citizen and promotes the use of expensive antidepressants and antipsychotropic drugs favored by supporters of the administration. Supporters of the administration. Gee, you think these people hope to benefit financially? You think this could be a situation where Bush is in bed with these people, these pharmaceutical companies? No, we couldn't have that kind of corruption going on, could we? The New Freedom Initiative, according to a progress report, seeks to integrate mentally ill patients fully into the community by providing services in the community, rather than institutions, the British Medical Journal reported. Critics say the plan protects the profits of drug companies at the expense of the public. The initiative began with Bush's launch in April 2002 of the New Freedom Commission on Mental Health. The New Freedom Commission on Mental Health, which conducted a comprehensive study of the United States mental health service delivery system. The panel found that despite their prevalence, mental disorders often go undiagnosed and recommended comprehensive mental health screening for consumers of all ages. Consumers of all ages. Everyone. Everyone. Aren't you so glad the government cares whether or not you're mentally ill? And they're saying everyone, including preschool children. The commission said, you know, the thing I keep thinking about is when in 1984 by George Orwell, Winston Smith was considered mentally ill because of his thought crimes. You know? And yet we have this going on today, this mental screening. Schools, the panel concluded, are in a key position to screen the 52 million students and 6 million adults who work at the schools. The commission recommended that the screening be linked with treatment and supports, including the state-of-the-art treatments using specific medications for specific conditions. The Texas Medication Algorithm Project, or TMAP, was held up by the panel as a model medication treatment plan that, quote, illustrates an evidence-based practice that results in better consumer outcomes, end quote. The TMAP started in 1995 as an alliance of individuals from the pharmaceutical industry, the University of Texas, and the Mental Health Correlation System of Texas. Also was praised by the American Psychiatric Association, which called for increased funding to implement the overall plan. Okay, well, that's all I'm going to read of that. That's an article from WorldNet Daily. I don't support WorldNet Daily. I don't endorse them, but I did want to share that information. Jackie Petru has covered that a little bit, actually quite a bit, on her broadcast last week. Dangerous stuff. Dangerous stuff. Moving along to China. China is apparently launching disaster monitoring satellites. High-ranking Chinese space official Tuesday said the nation would launch a cluster of small satellites to allow better disaster management from space. Well, what kind of disasters are we talking about? Luan Engi, administrator of China National Space Administration, at a high-level panel on knowledge economic development, says through the establishment of small satellite constellation consisting of multiple small remote sensing satellites, our capacity in applying space technology in disaster mitigation and environmental monitoring will be improved. large-scale, all-weather, all-time, and dynamic monitoring of the environment and disasters will be realized to contribute to the sustainable economic and social development of China. Sustainable development going on in China, folks. According to Luan, the main mission of the small satellite constellation will be to monitor the environment for floods, drought, typhoons, windstorms, and tidal events. The system can also sense earthquakes, landslides, mud rock flows, forest fires, plant diseases, and insect pests, sea disasters, environmental pollution, and assess disaster management. They said the system will mainly follow the development of natural disasters and allow forecasting. Well, isn't that interesting? While it may not directly improve the accuracy of earthquake forecasts, Luan is confident that the information and data it collects will contribute to related research. The first stage of the project, upon which research started 5 years ago, includes the launch of 3 satellites, 2 small optical satellites, and 1 small synthetic aperture radar satellite by 2006 with China's own capacity. With a period of 48 hours, the satellites will meet part of the demand for disaster management. With international cooperation, the system will have been expanded by 2010 to a second stage, which includes 8 satellites, 4 optical satellites, and 4 radar ones, with a shortened period of 12 hours. With international cooperation. That's interesting. By then, the all-weather and all-time monitoring, in a real sense, will be materialized. The system, when completed, will be the first in the region to be directed specifically towards natural disaster evaluation. We are willing to make the small satellite constellation one of the platforms for disaster mitigation in the Asia-Pacific region, and to actively promote the application of space technology for disaster control in China and other countries in the region to reduce costs and risks and share resources, said Luan. Luan later told the media that the first 3 satellites are currently under research and production. There are very few satellite systems that are specifically collecting the kind of data that are required for disaster research. This is something unique about the Chinese system, said Alan Clark, executive director of the Hawaii-based Pacific Disaster Center. Describing the system as extremely valuable, Clark told China Daily that his agency will be very interested in taking the data and information collected by the system and establishing the network within the region for the use in disaster management. I'm not going to read this whole thing because we just don't have time. But you see, they're launching satellites to monitor disasters. We're seeing flooding in Colorado and other places. Dateline Denver, more than 2 inches of rain along the Rocky Mountain foothills Sunday afternoon flooded the streets and basements, destroyed a house, sent mud down a hillside, and forced the rescues of several people. A 12-year-old boy riding his bicycle through a creek was swept nearly a mile downstream by a wall of water in Colorado Springs, said firefighter Captain Randy Royal. He was transported to a hospital with non-life-threatening injuries and evaluation for hypothermia. That's Denver, Colorado. Interesting, as we look at weather modification, we're seeing the droughts out west, we're seeing flooding in other places, heavy rains, downpours. What's going on with the weather, folks? What are we facing here? Well, I find it very interesting, as Colorado has an intensive weather modification program. This, by the way, was mentioned, incidentally, in the New Order of the Barbarians, too. Dr. Richard Day is quoted by Dr. Lawrence Dunnigan. Richard Day was an insider, and he talked about this in his speech before pediatric physicians. Let me read you the quote. There was a mention then of weather. This was another really striking statement. Lawrence Dunn again said, "We can or soon will be able to control the weather." He said, "I'm not merely referring to dropping iodide crystals into the clouds to precipitate rain. That's already there. But real control." And weather was seen as a weapon of war, a weapon of influencing public policy. Did you hear that, folks? Weather was seen as a weapon of war, a weapon of influencing public policy. Back in the 1960s, this speech was given. It could make rain or withhold rain in order to influence certain areas and bring them under your control. There were two sides to this that were rather striking. He said, on the one hand, you can make drought during the growing season so that nothing will grow. And on the other hand, you can make for very heavy rains during harvest season so the fields are too muddy to bring in the harvest. And indeed, one might be able to do both. There was no statement on how this would be done. It was stated that either it was already possible or very, very close to being possible. So there you have it. The agenda laid out by Dr. Lawrence Dunnigan back in the 1960s. And yet Colorado, we're seeing floods, and Colorado has an extensive weather modification program. Doing some research on the internet, I discover that Colorado has a weather modification permit program. And it says, the moisture suspended in the atmosphere is a natural resource. It has been estimated that only about 2% to 3% of the moisture in the atmosphere falls as natural precipitation. Moisture which falls, by the way, I'm reading directly from the Colorado State website. You can go there yourself, and I'll put these links up on AmericanExpose.com. American spelled with a K, not a C. I'll put these up after the broadcast tonight, so you can see these things for yourself. But this is cwcb.state.co.us/weather_modification/permit_program.htm. This is the permit program. How you can get a permit to modify the weather in Colorado. Incidentally, there are other states that have their own weather modification laws and programs. So it's up to each individual listening to this broadcast to do the research in your own state and find out what the laws are regarding weather modification. Find out how you can modify the weather in your state. Or is it being done? Oh, man. Anyway, continuing here with the state of Colorado weather modification permit program. It says only 2 to 3% of the moisture in the atmosphere falls as natural precipitation. Moisture which falls naturally or is artificially induced to fall as precipitation within Colorado is the property of the people of the state. Weather modification, or WM, is the science and practice of artificially changing the weather. Cloud seeding, the primary WM activity, is the intentional treatment of individual clouds or cloud systems to achieve some desired effect. The Colorado General Assembly has declared that the state of Colorado recognizes that economic benefits can be derived for the people of the state from weather modification. Operations, research, experimentation, and development in the field of weather modification shall therefore be encouraged. Now, under the heading of the purposes of weather modification, it says weather modification is used for two basic purposes in Colorado: to increase precipitation and to reduce precipitation. Increasing precipitation, they're talking about more rain during drought, more snow for reservoir storage, more snow for earlier start on the ski season. Reducing precipitation, less hail during severe storms, and fog suppression. Now, then they go into the historic target areas in Colorado. They say since 1951, weather modification has been used in several areas of Colorado: Northeast Colorado, the San Luis Valley, Aspen ski areas, Vail Beaver Creek ski areas, Willow Creek Basin, the Gran Mesa, San Juan Mountains, and Southeast Colorado. Methods. The following material and methods of delivery are used to modify the weather. Materials, silver iodide, and carbon dioxide. And in parentheses, dry ice. Methods of delivery. Ground-based generators, aircraft, and pyrotechnics. Pyrotechnics. Effectiveness. The effectiveness of weather modification is difficult to measure. It usually involves comparison of results in the target area to precipitation in a control area. However, a 10 to 15% increase in snowpack from ground-based winter generators is typical. The theoretical limit under ideal circumstances is a 25% increase. An average savings of $4 million per year from reduced crop damages from hail has been reported in western Kansas. That's also another weather modification state. Western Kansas with a benefit-to-cost ratio as high as 37 to 1. Authorities. Administration of Colorado's Weather Modification Permit Program is the responsibility of the Executive Director of the Department of Natural Resources. This responsibility has been delegated to the Director of the Colorado Water Conservation Board since 1987. The following state statutes and rules govern the control of issuing permits for weather modification in Colorado. The Weather Modification Act of 1951, Weather Modification Act of 1972. 1951, folks, Weather Modification Act of 1951. Weather modification has been going on for years, decades, more than a half a century. HB 92-1018, Sunset WM Advisory Committee. HB 92-1129, Ground-Based Winter Operations. SB 96-90, Continuation of WM Permitting. State Statute, CRS 24-4-101, The State Administrative Procedure Act. Rules and Regulations. I'll just let you guys read this. The laws. Anyway, it says permits. The General Assembly decided in 1996 that the state should continue to issue permits in order to monitor and keep the public informed. Gee, you think the public's informed about this? I wonder if anybody listening in Colorado, email me and let me know if you're informed about weather modification. I mean, not counting this broadcast. Do you know anything about weather modification from your media? You know anything about weather modification from your newspaper? I'd be very interested in knowing if anybody's informed about this, because I had never heard of it until I went to AmericanExpose.com and heard about it, or heard about it in the New Order of the Barbarians. That's the first time I actually heard of it. While weather modification licenses were eliminated, the qualifications for operating... The qualifications for operating a weather modification program were made part of the permitting process. You must have a permit to modify the weather in Colorado. Permits are issued for specific projects. The person in control of the project must be qualified. Permits are for 5 consecutive years and are renewable. The permit fee is $100 plus a 2% commercial fee. Use form WM-1 for qualifications and form WM-2 for project details. To apply, applications should be submitted at least 45 days before the beginning of the project. You must publish a public notice of intent to modify the weather. A public hearing is required. Interesting. Public notice of intent. The legal notice of intent to modify the weather must indicate the sponsor, purpose, primary target area, general area which might be affected, expected duration, intended effect, where complete details are available, time and place of the public hearing. The legal notice must be published in at least one official county newspaper of general circulation in the target area, county, and in all adjacent countries. Has anybody ever seen one of these published? Is anybody paying attention to their local paper? publication shall be a minimum of at least 2 consecutive weekly legal notices, with not less than 1 week intervening between the first publication and the last publication. Public hearing. The public hearing shall not be held more than 1 week following completion of publication of the notice of intent. At the public hearing, the permit applicant must demonstrate that the person in control of the project is qualified, that the project sponsor has paid the permit application fee, proof of financial responsibility, that the operational plan is complete, proof of publication of public notice, and that the project meets the permit requirements. Under the heading of qualifications, the person in control of the project must meet at least one of the following qualifications based on experience, education, or certification. Experience: 8 years personal experience in WM field research or operations, including at least 3 years as project director. Under the heading of education, a Bachelor of Science in Engineering, Mathematics, or Physical Sciences, plus 3 years experience. A Bachelor of Science in Meteorology or Engineering, which includes or is in addition to 25 semester hours of meteorology, plus 2 years experience. Certification: manager by the Weather Modification Association. Did you know there's a Weather Modification Association, folks? Finding out all kinds of good stuff tonight. Financial responsibility. Proof of financial responsibility may be demonstrated by corporate surety bond, liability insurance, $1 million minimum, license to do business in Colorado, and a 30-day cancellation notice. Operational plan. A complete operational plan includes the following elements: name and address of the project sponsor, name and address of the person in control of the project, statement of objectives, nature of intended operation, map of the proposed operating area, target area, area that might be affected, expected effect on the environment, and method of determining and evaluating the same, other detailed information as required. Permit requirements. Information required in the operational plan and testimony at the public hearing must show the project, number one, is reasonably expected to benefit the people in the area in which the operation will be conducted or benefit the people of the state of Colorado. Number two, is scientifically and technically feasible if it is a commercial project. Number three, does not involve a high degree of risk of substantial harm to land, people, health, safety, property, or the environment. Number four, is designed to include adequate safeguards to prevent substantial damage to land, water rights, people, health, safety, or to the environment. Number five, will not adversely affect another project. And number six, is designed to minimize risk and maximize scientific gains or economic benefits to the residents of the area or the state. Safeguards. Safeguards may be incorporated into a permit based on the following criteria: atmospheric conditions, notification of agencies, the CWCB, highways and wildlife agencies, suspension criteria, snow water content limits, and avalanche forecasts. DNR publications. The following publications currently out of print have been prepared by the Colorado Department of Natural Resources. Copies may be obtained for a nominal fee. One of the publications is What is Weather Modification? Answers to the 20 most often asked questions about cloud seeding in Colorado. Let's see, I think I have that. At any rate, there you have it, folks. There's more other weather modification publications, guidelines for cloud seeding to augment precipitation, evaluation of operational cloud seeding in western Kansas, final report. Those of you living in Kansas, weather modification state. Every state is probably a weather modification state, including Michigan. According to Rents.com, Michigan's weather modification restriction law was rescinded in 2000. It was the Weather Modification Control Act of 1978, and it was repealed in 2000, according to Rents.com. So, does that mean that anyone can modify the weather in Michigan? In this continuing in this Colorado website, it says, what is weather modification? Answers to the to 20 of the most often asked questions about cloud seeding in Colorado. Weather modification is the science and practice of artificially changing the weather. Cloud seeding is its primary activity. The injection of dry ice or silver iodide into moisture-laden clouds in the attempt to increase rain or snowfall, or to reduce the damaging effect of hailstorms. They call it rain stealing, folks. That's what they call it, rain stealing. They say, is cloud seeding used in Colorado? Yes. Cloud seeding is used in Colorado in the winter to augment the mountain snowpack. When successful, this increases the spring runoff into storage reservoirs and rivers, benefiting many water users, including skiers and participants in other winter sports. Summer cloud seeding is not conducted commercially because there is insufficient proof of its effectiveness. Interesting. Does cloud seeding work? Not everyone agrees, they say. Research indicates that under certain conditions, winter cloud seeding can increase mountain precipitation by 10 to 20%. Why is cloud seeding conducted in Colorado? When there is not enough water in a rapidly growing semi-arid state like Colorado, everybody suffers. They say three of Colorado's major industries in energy and minerals, agriculture and tourism depend on an adequate supply to do business. Cloud seeding can help manage this most precious resource. Who's doing it? Cloud seeding is conducted by commercial enterprises and research universities for federal, state, and local governments, most private businesses. In the past several years, diverse water interest groups have funded many projects, including cloud seeding in the southwestern San Juan Mountains, to increase snowpack for spring runoff, an emergency drought relief program, a commercial program to improve skiing conditions, and research under the auspices of Colorado State University and federal agencies. Just how does cloud seeding work? First, let's look at the natural process. Clouds are formed when water vapor condenses around microscopic particles in the atmosphere. These particles, called condensation nuclei, are ever-present and come from dust, smoke, salt, and even pollution. Rain occurs when these microscopic droplets combine to form drops heavy enough to fall to Earth. To form snow, ice crystals grow around additional particles in the atmosphere called ice nuclei. Ice nuclei can be natural or man-made particles such as silver iodide. When the ice crystals grow large and heavy enough to fall, they fall to Earth as snow. Some clouds in Colorado have plenty of moisture, but not enough natural nuclei to yield as much precipitation as possible. Cloud seeding simply adds more nuclei to the process while nature does the rest. What is used? How is cloud seeding done? At first, airplanes dropped dry ice pellets into the clouds from above, which is an expensive process. Later, it discovered that silver iodide had a crystal structure resembling ice and could achieve similar results. Silver iodide can be seeded from the groundwater, from the ground, using a generator, which sprays tiny particles into the atmosphere, where natural wind patterns and updrafts carry them into the targeted clouds. Colorado's mountain topography makes this process particularly easy and inexpensive. However, aircraft delivery of silver iodide or ice is sometimes used depending on geographic and weather conditions. They go on here for quite some time. I'll post a link on the American Exposé website to this as well. This is very interesting stuff in the state of Colorado, and there are other states as well, Oklahoma, Kansas. There are many states that are involved in weather modification and have their own programs and laws. So do your own research, and we'll be back in a moment. This is the Met.
Years ahead of the dominant media, find out first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com, on satellite, Galaxy 13, Channel 16, Audio 7.70. What should the true Christian response to the homosexual marriage license debate be? It should be the same response that Christians should have had to marriage licensing in the first place. The very definition of a license demands that we not obtain one to marry. Black's Law Dictionary defines license as the permission by competent authority to do an act which, without such permission, would be illegal. We need to ask ourselves, why should it be illegal to marry without the state's permission? More importantly, why should we need the state's permission to participate in something which the Creator himself instituted? We do not need the state's permission to marry. What if you apply and the state says no? You must understand that the authority to license implies the power to prohibit. A license, by definition, confers a right to do something. The state cannot grant the right to marry because it is a God-given right. Should homosexuals have the right to obtain a marriage license? Let them grovel before their God, the state, for permission to do that which is unlawful in the eyes of the Creator. What should we do? Christian couples should not be marrying with state marriage licenses, nor should ministers require them. Some have said, if someone is married without a marriage license, then they won't really be married. Given the fact that states may soon legalize same-sex marriages, we need to ask ourselves, if a man and a man marry with a state marriage license, and a man and a woman marry without a state marriage license, who's really married? In reality, this contention that people are not really married unless they obtain a marriage license simply reveals how statist people are in their thinking. We need to think biblically. You should not be required to obtain a license from the state to marry any more than you need one to be a parent, which in some academic and legislative circles are currently pushing to be made law. But that is another topic. This free speech moment has been brought to you by FirstAmendmentRadio.com. If you can hear my voice, you are listening to the Worldwide First Amendment Radio Network. If you would like to continue hearing these programs, there are several ways that you can help. One, you can make a donation or subscribe to your favorite program by going to FirstAmendmentRadio.com on the Internet and follow the instructions there. Two, you can sponsor your favorite program with your business advertising dollars or spend your dollars with those businesses that advertise on your favorite programs. Three, simply call in on live programs and tell them that you are listening on FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Now anyone can do that one. You can find the call-in numbers on our schedule pages at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. And finally, you can call 559-733-5002 and leave your name and address, and we will send you a support pack. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back to American Expo Day, the home stretch of the broadcast, the last half hour. Darren Weeks sitting in for Chris Gerner, who should return tomorrow night, Lord willing, and weather willing. We're talking about weather modification tonight. And weather modification is certainly a section of the website, AmericanExpose.com. American spelled with a K and not a C. I believe Bill found this information for the initial section. We're going to have more that we're going to be adding to this as more and more information comes forward. And why is this important, by the way? Maybe if you're a new listener or not seasoned to this information, you might wonder, why is weather modification so important? Why is it important to expose the fact that it's going on? Well, you have talk show hosts like Art Bell on the weekend. He wrote a book with Whitley Strieber or something. His name is something like that. They called the Coming Global Superstorm. They're talking about the ice caps and the the ice caps melting on Earth and how this is all the changes in the weather. Anyway, there's a lot of changes going on in the weather. Art Bell frequently talks about how the weather is changing, but he never talks about weather modification going on. He never talks about the manipulation of the weather, and of course, invariably, human activity is blamed for weather modification, for the changes that are coming, the changes that are happening right now. The changes in the weather, floods, droughts, various other things that are weather related. And the environmentalist seize upon this. I'm talking about the ones in government as well as out of government. They seize upon these weather changes and say that we're screwing up the atmosphere. We're messing it all up with our cars, with our industrial development. Human beings are the scourge of the earth. We're destroying everything. We're destroying everything, and we need to have the screws turned into us, and we need to be clamped down so that we can't destroy the environment anymore. And never do you hear the fact that weather modification is going on all around us. And truth be told, if somebody does the research, it's probably being done in all 50 states. What other countries are practicing weather modification? This is for further research. And it would be interesting if other people would jump on board and pick up and build upon this foundation. But here we see Title 15 of the United States Code, Chapter 9A, Section 330 to 330E, deals with weather modification. This is a law. This is a federal law. Title 15, folks, write this down. Write this down so you can look it up and verify that I'm not making this up. Title 15, United States Code, Chapter 9A. Title 15, United States Code, Chapter 9A. Chapter 9 deals with the National Weather Service. Chapter 9A deals with weather modification. And Section 330, it has definitions. It says, as used in this chapter, the term secretary means the Secretary of Commerce. The term person means any individual, corporation, company, association, firm, partnership, society, joint stock company, any state or local government, or any agency thereof, or any other organization, whether commercial or nonprofit, who is performing weather modification activities. And now listen, except where acting solely as an employee, agent, or independent contractor of the federal government. So in other words, if you're acting on the behalf of the federal government, for the purposes of this chapter, you are not a person, quote unquote. That's very important, as we'll see in a moment. The term weather modification means any activity performed with the intention of producing artificial changes in the composition, behavior, or dynamics of the atmosphere. Number four, the term United States includes the several states, the District of Columbia, the Commonwealth of Puerto Rico, and any territory, insular possession of the United States. Now, Section 330A, report requirement, form, information, and time of submission. Again, this is Title 15 of the United States Code, Chapter 9A, Section 330A. It says, no person, remember, if you're acting on behalf of the federal government, you're not a person under this chapter. No person may engage or attempt to engage in any weather modification activity in the United States unless he submits to the Secretary such reports with respect thereto in such form and containing such information as the Secretary may by rule prescribe. The Secretary may require that such reports be submitted to him before, during, and after any such activity or attempt. Section 330B, duties of Secretary. A, records maintenance, summaries, publication. The Secretary shall maintain a record of weather modification activities, including attempts which take place in the United States, and shall publish summaries thereof from time to time as he determines. B, public availability of reports, documents, and other information. All reports, documents, and other information received by the Secretary under the provisions of this chapter shall be made available to the public to the fullest practicable extent. That would make some very interesting Freedom of Information Act requests, wouldn't it, ladies and gentlemen? For those who want to do good research, do some Freedom of Information Act requests to the Secretary of Commerce's office in the United States government about weather modification. Find out what programs are going on. Letter C, disclosure of confidential information, prohibition, exceptions. In carrying out the provisions of this section, the Secretary shall not disclose any information referred to in Section 1905 of Title 18 and is otherwise unavailable to the public except that such information shall be disclosed, number one, to other federal government departments, agencies, and officials for other official use upon request. Number two, in any judicial proceeding under court order formulated to preserve the confidentiality of such information without impairing the proceeding. And number three, to the public if necessary to protect their health and safety. Section 330C, authority of the Secretary. Information A, information reports and records, inspection, availability of data from any federal agency as limitation of authority. the secretary may obtain from any person whose activities relate to weather modification by rule, subpoena, or otherwise such information in the form of testimony, books, records, or other writings may require the keeping of and furnishing of such reports and records, and may make such inspection of the books, records, and other writings and premises and property of any person as may be deemed necessary or appropriate by him to carry out the provisions of this chapter. But this authority shall not be exercised to obtain any information with respect to that to which adequate and authoritative data are available from any federal agency. B. Noncompliance. In case of contumacy by or refusal to obey a subpoena served upon any person pursuant to this section, the District Court of the United States for any district in which such person is found or resides or transacts business upon application by the Attorney General shall have jurisdiction to issue an order requiring such person to appear and give testimony or to appear and produce documents or both. And any failure to obey such order of the court may be punished by such court as contempt thereof. Section 330D, violation penalty. Any person who knowingly and willfully violates Section 330A of this title or any rule issued thereunder shall, upon conviction thereof, be fined not more than $10,000. Section 330E, authorization of appropriations. Now listen to this, folks. There are authorized to be appropriated $150,000 for the fiscal year ending June 30th, 1972. In other words, this law has been on the book since before 1972. $200,000 for each for the fiscal years 1973 through 1980. $100,000 for the fiscal year ending September 30th, 1991 or 1981, excuse me. $100,000 for the fiscal year ending September 30th, 1986. $100,000 for the fiscal year ending September 30th, 1987. $100,000 for the fiscal year ending September 30th, 1988 to carry out the provisions of this chapter. So there you have it. Again, Title 15 of the United States Code, Chapter 9A, weather modification. Now, that's not all. In the 108th Congress, we have a bill pending in the Senate. Second session, S-2170. Bill S-2170, the 108th Congress, second session, to establish the Weather Modification Operations and Research Board and outline its duties and responsibilities. In the Senate of the United States, March 4, 2004, Mrs. Hutchinson introduced the following bill, which was read twice and referred to the Committee on Commerce, Science, and Transportation. So it appears the bill is currently in committee. A bill to establish the Weather Modification Operations and Research Board and outline its duties and responsibilities. Be it enacted by the Senate and House of Representatives of the United States of America in Congress assembled, Section 1, short title, this act may be cited as the Weather Modification Research and Technology Transfer Authorization Act. Section 2, purpose. It is the purpose of this act to develop and implement a comprehensive and coordinated national weather modification policy and a national cooperative federal and state program of weather modification research and development. Section 3, definitions. In this act, number 1, board. The term board means the Weather Modification Advisory and Research Board. Number 2, executive director. The term executive director means the term the executive director of the Weather Modification Advisory and Research Board. The term research and development means theoretical analysis, explorations, experimentation, and the extension of investigative findings and theories of scientific or technical nature into practical application for experimental and demonstration purposes, including the experimental production and testing of models, devices, equipment, materials, and processes. The term weather modification means changing or controlling or attempting to change or control by artificial methods the natural development of atmospheric cloud forms or precipitation forms which occur in the troposphere. Section 4, Weather Modification Advisory and Research Board established. A, in general, there is established the Department of Commerce and the Department of Commerce, the Weather Modification Advisory and Research Board. B, membership. In general, the board shall consist of 11 members appointed by the Secretary of Commerce, of whom A, at least one shall be a representative of the American Meteorological Society, B, at least one shall be a representative of the American Society of Civil Engineers, C, at least one shall be a representative of the National Academy of Sciences, D, one shall be a representative of the National Center for Atmospheric Research of the National Science Foundation, E, at least two shall be representatives of NOAA, the National Oceanic Atmospheric Administration of the Department of Commerce. F, at least one shall be a representative of institutions of higher education or research institutes. And G, at least one shall be a representative of a state, a representative of a state that is currently supporting operational weather modification projects. Number two, service as members. A member of the board shall serve at the pleasure of the Secretary of Commerce. Number three, vacancies. Any vacancy on the board shall be filled in the same manner as the original appointment. Advisory committees. The board may establish advisory committees to advise the board and to make recommendations to the board concerning legislation, policy, administration, research, and other matters. Initial meeting. Not later than 30 days after the date on which all members of the board have been appointed, the board shall hold its first meeting. Meetings. The board shall meet at the call of the chair. A majority of the board shall constitute a quorum, but a lesser number of members may hold hearings. The board shall select a chair and vice chair from among its members. In order to assist in expanding the theoretical and practical knowledge of weather modification, the board shall promote and fund research and development studies and investigations with respect to, number one, improved forecast and decision-making technologies for weather modification operations, including tailored computer workstations and software and new observation systems with remote sensors, and two, assessments and evaluations of efficacy of weather modification, both purposeful, including cloud seeding operations, and inadvertent, including downwind effects and anthropogenic effects. Financial assistance. Unless the use of the money is restricted or subject to any limitations provided by law, the board shall use amounts in the Weather Modification Research and Development Fund. Number one, to pay its expenses in the administration of this act, and number two, to provide for research and development with respect to weather modification by grants to or contracts or cooperative arrangements with public or private agencies. C, report. The board shall provide the secretary with a report of its findings and research results biannually. Powers of the board. The board may make any studies or investigations, obtain any information, and hold any hearings necessary or proper to administer or enforce this act, any rules or orders issued under this act. Personnel. The board may hire an executive director or other support staff as provided by the Appropriations Act necessary to perform duties and functions under this act. Cooperation with other agencies. The board may cooperate with public or private agencies to promote the purposes of this act. D. The board may enter into cooperative arrangements with the agencies of the United States, states of the United States, and their counties and cities, or with any private or public agencies or organizations for conducting weather modification activities or cloud seeding operations. Conduct and contracts for research and development. The executive director, with approval of the board, may conduct and may contract for research and development activities relating to the purposes of this section. Section 7. Cooperation with Weather Modification Operations and Research Board. Agencies of the United States and other public or private agencies and institutions that receive research funds from the United States are directed, to the extent possible, to give full support and cooperation to the board and to initiate independent research and development programs that address weather modifications. Section 8, funding. In general, there is established within the Treasury of the United States. Within the Treasury of the United States, there is established the Weather Modification Research and Development Fund. which shall consist of amounts appropriated pursuant to Section B or received by the Board under Subsection C. Authorization of appropriations. There is authorized to be appropriated to the Board for the purposes of carrying out the provisions of this Act $10 million for each of fiscal years 2004 through 2013. Any sums appropriated under this subsection shall remain available without fiscal year limitation until expended. In other words, if they don't use it, they don't lose it. Section C, gifts. The Board may accept, use, and dispose of gifts or donations of services or property. Effective date, the provisions of this Act shall apply on and after October 1st, 2003. Wasn't that interesting? Retroactive? Maybe it's been in there a while. At any rate, this is pending legislation. The date on this is March 4th, 2004. I looked it up in Thomas, the library, the congressional search engine, and it says it has been referred to the Committee on Commerce, Science, and Transportation. This is S-2170, a bill to establish the Weather Modification Operations and Research Board and outline its duties and responsibilities. Did you folks know that this was going on out there? Do you have any idea that weather modification was such a tremendous reality? Sure you did, because you listened to Chris Gerner. You listened to this broadcast. But that's the only way you knew, isn't it? Or Sweet Liberty with Jackie Petru. She talks about weather modification sometimes. But aside from these limited audience broadcast, this alternative media, where have you ever heard of weather modification? And yet, we're seeing droughts in places, we're seeing floods in other places, and they're screwing with the weather. And the public is told that they're going to have to curtail their greenhouse gas emissions. Well, because the greenhouse gas effect all this weather modification, these alterations in the weather are being blamed on human activity. Humans are destroying the environment. Now, how can you prove that? It doesn't matter. If you repeat a lie often enough, people tend to start believing it. Then we see in the Air Force, Chris has touched on this in the past, weather as a force multiplier. Owning the weather in 2025. It's a full report. Many-page report, several pages here. And I'll put the link up to this as well. Complete with graphics, information about the Global Weather Network, the military system for weather modification operations. A lot of information in this Air Force report, this report for the Air Force. Weather as a force multiplier, owning the weather in 2025, talking about how to strategically advance the military, how to get an advantage strategically by using the weather. Frontline, India's national magazine, did a piece, and I'll conclude the broadcast with some of this because it's very important. They talk about Vietnam and other things. In volume 16, number 2, of January 16th through the 29th, 1999, they ran a piece called To Own the Weather. The U.S. has covertly pursued a military operation launched during the Vietnam War to acquire weather modification technology for possible use in combat. I doubt I'm going to get through this whole thing, but we'll get through as much of it as we can. On November 30, 1993, the U.S. military officials and representatives of some major corporations who had gathered in Orlando, Florida, for an inter-service industry conference looked forward to an address by the Chief of the United States Army, General Gordon R. Sullivan. The general was known to be a vivid and eloquent visualizer of the decisive role that the U.S. military services should play in the 21st century. The audience of military and corporate officials looked forward to yet another inspiring call from the general for even greater efforts to build, quote, what can and will be Force 21. Force 21. An emphatic point that the general made in his speech had profound implications for the international community. But regrettably, it has evoked very little attention. General Sullivan said, as we leap technologically into the 21st century, we will be able to see the enemy day or night, in any weather, and go after him relentlessly. The technology is there, waiting for us to pull it all together. Own the night, own the weather. OTW, owning the weather, has become the credo of the Pentagon, this article says. If under present and foreseeable circumstances, atomic, chemical, and biological weapons cannot be used, OTW, owning the weather, has come to be viewed by U.S. planners as the key to sustaining their country's military and economic dominance in the 21st century. They stress the continued U.S. leadership in frontier technologies will be indispensable to achieving the objective. In an article in a military journal in February 1992, General Sullivan stated, "Today warfare is dependent more on the microprocessor than on the steel mill." In another article, he asserted that the U.S., quote, must have overmatching technology that will provide the means to apply overwhelming and decisive combat power, unquote, against an adversary. Through continuous modernization and effective exploitation of leading-edge technologies, U.S. researchers must find new systems that would offer increased range and lethality. By implementing such a strategy, the U.S. could achieve the definitive overmatch capabilities that, quote, we seek, Sullivan declared. General Jimmy Ross emphasized the vital importance of winning the information war at a symposium on the theme sponsored by the Association of the U.S. Army in February 1994. OTW, he says, is crucial to outthinking the enemy and winning the information war. Controlling the environment for round-the-clock continuous operations and executing precision strikes, he argued. In the closing years of the 19th century, Captain Alfred T. Mahan preached the gospel of naval power as the surest path for America's pursuit of great power status. In the interwar years, Brigadier General Billy Mitchell eloquently depicted air power as the key to America's attainment of global dominance. During the Second World War, eminent scientists had little difficulty in convincing President Franklin D. Roosevelt that the acquisition of atomic weapons capability in conjunction with certainty of naval and air preeminence would ensure America's global dominance far into the future. "One bomb for a city, two bombs for war," exclaimed John Foster Dulles when commenting on the surrender of Japan after the atomic raids on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. But U.S. military planners had no intention to rest on their oars. For over four decades that followed, the Cold War with the Soviet Union and international communism, as also the Korean and Vietnam Wars, created an environment and brought high levels of funding that they were not slow to exploit. They were able to initiate massive research and development efforts to explore even far-out concepts and push forward their quest for ever more powerful lethal weapons and techniques to be tested in the battlefield of the future, one point that was emphatically stressed by the father of the nuclear submarine. They go on, they talk about Project Popeye in this, where they flood the Ho Chi Minh Trail in Laos by heavy rain and thereby reducing the North Vietnamese infiltration into South Vietnam. Very interesting article. I'll post a link to this at AmericanExpose.com, American spelled with a K, not a C. Thanks for joining us this time, folks. Do your own research. God bless you, and we'll talk to you later.
You are listening to the Worldwide First Amendment Radio Network. We do not have freedom of speech because the Constitution gives it to us. The Constitutional Amendment.